You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, here we are, hour number two. Amazing that we got here that fast. Just went through the whole appliance wars. And I got to tell you, hearkening back earlier in my monologue, I talked about the fact I'm just going to do an aside here, just having a moment of personal privilege, if you will. I in my monologue earlier, I hope you didn't miss it, but if you did, I talked about another reason, one of the bedrock principles that I believe conservatives carry is an unconditional patriotism or love for country. And Charlene and I were talking this morning, and she just texted me the quote, and I thought, you know, this is so good. I'm going to start the next hour with it. You wonder sometimes why this country is so blessed. I think a part of that is because of the way it was founded. It was founded on the principles of religious freedom and faith, and not just religious freedom, but on Christian principles and upon bringing God into the idea that we were going to establish a new nation. Robert Hunt was the chaplain for the pilgrims who arrived at Jamestown in 1604, 5, 6. And when they made landfall in April, actually it was April of 1607, when they made landfall in, with, you know, Captain John Smith, all of it, they built a cross on the shoreline, and Reverend Robert Hunt stood up and offered, and this is the prayer that was recorded by John Smith in his logs. He says, quote, "We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us. And with these generations, take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as the earth remains. And may this land, along with England, be evangelist to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we've done here. And may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. From these very shores, the gospel shall go forth, not only to this new world, but to the entire world." That was one of the first things they did when they made landfall. And I love this country. Show me another founded on something like that. I don't know that it exists. All right. That was from my sweet wife sending that in, who will be the first one to tell you, by the way, there's more of us than there are them. So there's that. What are we going to have here? Oh, I got plenty of text messages. Jeff from Indiana texted me in and says, wow, regarding the appliances, they would freak out about my camper refrigerator. It works off electricity and LP gas. He's got a hybrid. He's got himself a hybrid refrigerator. Hybrids. Tony from Piedmont, he just sent me the EcoTool 2035. Heat, check, cook, check, cool, find a cave. Basically, it's a picture of an axe. It's Brian from Huntsville says, "My water heater is natural gas. It generally runs even when the electricity is down." You know what, though? You know, what's interesting is all of these houses that have those generators that kick on, those are gas generators. Because when the power goes out, well, you can't turn on the power. So you have to have an alternative sourcing. Natural gas comes through the pipeline, typically nonstop. So yeah. All right, next piece of the triple dipper here. Let me just jump into it. I'm calling this one Fighting Back. So I love it when I'm reading the news and I'm seeing, you know, the wokeness and I'm seeing the policies we disagree with and I'm seeing other things. I love it when I see the fight back, when I see conservatives, when I see the folks on the right side. Oh, there he goes, a pun. When I see the folks on the right side doing something. Taking a stand, you know, actually taking action. I told you a story yesterday, and I've got a copy of it here again today, military.com. Oh, man, what a liberal organization. But military.com, House Republicans, this is dated 2 days ago, House Republicans moved Tuesday of this week to block the Department of Veterans Affairs from providing abortion services, flying LGBTQ plus pride flags at its facilities, and providing gender affirmation surgery or hormones to transgender veterans. First of all, I'm going to say it again, over and over again, it is not gender affirming. This is not gender affirming. Those surgeries are not gender affirming. They are gender non-confirming. They are non-confirming the gender you were born with. They are doing all they can not to affirm the way you were born. Anyway, that being said, this bill passed in a party line vote in the House Appropriations Committee, takes aim at the Biden administration policies that Republicans have spent months griping about, says the author of the article. She also talks about how they're just trying to make it harder for people to be gay in the military. No, they're not. What they're saying is, go do your job. And oh, by the way, abortion services are a violation of the federal law. Flying LGBTQ flags at government installations is not considered appropriate according to flag protocols. And gender affirmation surgery is an abomination. So there. So why do we have to do stuff like this? Why do we have to keep doing stuff like telling the VA not to violate the law and conduct abortions? Why do we have to tell them not to fly the rainbow flag next to the American flag? Well, because we have knuckleheads out there in positions of leadership who are headed down those roads and leading the cause. Here's one of the reasons why you have to fight back. So the United States Space Force, Lieutenant General Deanna Burt, she's a three-star. Lieutenant General Deanna Burt admitted during a recent Department of Defense LGBTQ plus pride event that she would allow access to gender-affirming care to take priority over qualifications when assigning officers. There are very few places left in the world where you're supposed to have merit-based promotion. I understand. I've had enough time in uniform and family members who have also. I get it. There are times when knowing someone or for that matter, being in the right place at the right time, those things all come into play. I get it. But for the most part, you're supposed to be able to look at a promotion as being a merit-based opportunity. Huh. But Lieutenant General Deanna Burt, here's her quote. She says, since January of this year, she starts off by saying, transformational cultural change requires leadership from the top, and we do not have time to wait. In other words, let's get her done. Since January of this year, she says, more than 400 anti-LGBTQ plus laws have been introduced at state level. That number is rising. It demonstrates a trend that could be dangerous, she says. Dangerous. It's dangerous. We have a three-star general working for Space Force who says that since Alabama does not want to see the mutilation of children or believes that abortion should not take place on federal facilities, it's dangerous for service members. These are people who are paid to go into harm's way. These are people who signed up to say, I will go there and do that thing, and I will support and defend the Constitution. Show me in there where it says, unless, of course, you're going to assign me to a state that won't allow me to have my gender-affirming care. Do you know where that sits? All you veterans out there, any of you green suiters, can someone tell me, please? When you signed up, when you enlisted, and you chose the option for what your MOS was going to be and, you know, how many years you were going to enlist for, was there a place in there where you checked the block that says, but I will only serve if you will send me to a state that has gender-affirming care? She goes on to say, said this three-star general, when I look at potential candidates, SAFER, Squadron Command. By the way, Squadron Command is no small thing. Having been a battalion commander, I can just tell you, it's no small thing. So when she's looking at candidates for Squadron Command, she strives to match the right person to the job. I consider their job performance and relevant experience first. However, here's the caveat. However, I also look at their personal circumstances, and their family is also an important factor. If a good match for a job does not feel safe being themselves and performing at their highest potential at a given location, or if their family could be denied critical health care due to the laws of that state, I'm compelled to consider a different candidate, perhaps less qualified. That is maddening. Somebody needs to call her in and make her testify before Congress like yesterday. Three-star general. How did you get 3 stars? How did you get to the point that you can command Space Force? You're going to say right now that if someone is qualified to be a squadron commander, that you'll pick somebody less qualified if it means, you know, getting someone to a place where they can have gender-affirming care. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and she needs to be rolled right out of the Space Force. But I guarantee you, ain't nobody at DOD going to say a word. No one's probably called her. No one has said, General, you can't say that kind of thing. Why would you do that? No, no. She's towing that party line, looking for that 4th star. This is why we have to push back. All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. We'll keep the pushback going. Bottom of the hour, by the way, we pause what we're doing for my favorite segment, Boomer and McQueen. So 3:30, we'll stop whatever we're doing, have some time with Boomer and McQueen here in studio, and we'll pick up right after we get off of that, 4 o'clock, continuing whatever dipper we're on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Text lines. David from Madison says, completely agree. There's no such thing as gender affirming, only gender denial, which is in itself ridiculous, but also dangerous to young people. Nor is transgender a real thing, period. One cannot transition from one gender to another. It's not possible. I'm just telling you, he's on it. David from Huntsville just asked where that quote was that Charlene sent in to me that I read earlier. That was the Reverend Robert Hunt, his dedication at Jamestown in April 1607. What else have I got in here? Marcus from Huntsville. He says, I'm trying to find my spot here. Marcus from Huntsville says, so you're telling me that carrying an inhaler because you have asthma disqualifies you for military service, but taking meds so your body does not reject elective surgery does not, meaning gender-affirming care. Apparently not in the Biden army anyway. What else have I got? Teresa from Town Creek. I'm talking about this whole section of the Triple Dipper, calling it fighting back. She says, stand for something, even if you stand alone. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Teresa. So, next story, pushing back. I don't know if you've seen this or not. The United Methodist Church is going through a complete schism right now, and it's sad to watch. I talked about it briefly on the show yesterday. I will not mock this, but I will say I appreciate the fact that there are churches in this mainline denomination that are saying, you know, guys, if you're going down that road, we can't be a part of this. But there are whole congregations that are voting to secede from the United Methodist Church. And they're talking about right here in Alabama, too. So the United Methodist Church's Alabama West Florida Conference just had its meeting this past week. Story here on 1819 News. And the United Methodist Church is realizing, oh, my gosh, we're hemorrhaging churches. I mean, they are hemorrhaging churches. Since December, over 500 Methodist churches have left the United Methodist Church in Alabama alone. Just in this state, 500 Methodist churches have disaffiliated. So disaffiliation policies just got changed. They decided, oh, okay, we got to do something here. We're going to, how we do this? Make it harder to leave. Really? What do you think is going to happen? So here's what I imagine. If you're looking for the health of the organization, the structure of the body, then maybe you ought to do what you said you'd do. Because in 2019, the United Methodist Church as a whole accepted in its disciplines, they call it, I believe, that they would take an opposition stance to gay marriage and to the ordination of homosexual pastors. They're not saying you can't be gay and, you know, come to church. They're just saying we're not going to promote it. They're saying we're not going to enable it. So they never once said you can't be gay and come to a Methodist church. What they did say is the Methodist church will not be in the business of promoting homosexual lifestyle, period. So what happens? Major denominational schism as the churches began to just basically ignore it. And then one of the sad things about this, and I said this yesterday, one of the sad things about this is not a lifestyle choice by some. These are people who have dared to say, you will marry me in a gay marriage in your church. I want your church. They didn't say, I'll go somewhere else. They didn't say, I will live my lifestyle and be ordained in a church that already allows this. No, they said, I want your church. I will take it from you. I will be a gay pastor and you will like it. I will have a gay marriage at your pulpit and you will celebrate with me. You will do this or we will destroy your church. That's what they're saying. There's zero, in my opinion, I look at that and I find zero compassion in that. It's supposed to be the people who don't believe, who are traditional in values, that are supposed to be the ones who are getting on board. How about this? How about y'all have some respect and recognize that you're asking for a complete change of perspective? You're asking for an entirely different realm. And so what's happening in terms of pushing back, fighting back right now? Churches are leaving the United Methodist Conference at such a rapid rate now. The denomination is splitting, and they're doing it at such a rapid rate that they had to come out with tougher policies to make it harder for you to leave. Now, what's going to happen with that? We can't leave? What do you mean we can't leave? I can leave. I'll leave Sunday morning. I'll go down the road and go to the Presbyterian Church. I'll go down the road and go to the Baptist Church. I'll go down the road and go to the non-denominational evangelical church. Or even worse, I'll quit going to church. That's what's going to happen. If they think for a second that they're not going to be allowed to disaffiliate, will somehow preserve the community, it's not. People are not going to be told that they have to believe that something that is in the Bible is just, you know, to be ignored. They're not. And so this whole idea that, well, we'll have to make it harder for them to leave, that'll preserve the denomination, whoop, whoop, it's not going to work. It's going to make the denomination even, you know, more fragile. It's a sad thing to watch. But I'll be honest with you, I am glad to see, in terms of fighting back, I am glad to see that there are massive numbers of communities, massive numbers of congregations that are saying, you know what, not on our watch. We'll go ahead and move to a new version of the Methodist Church if we have to. Either that, or we'll worship somewhere else. Fighting back, y'all. I got plenty more on this, but we're going to pause what we're doing and go to Boomer and McQueen coming up next. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.